I'm not going to read all of this Daniel chapter 11, but I'll tell you about it. Amen. Because I believe the Lord wants to do something specific today, and it also has to do with what we did on the retreat yesterday as well, this past weekend. So, Father, I just ask you to open our ears, open our eyes, cause us to walk with you, cause us to know you, cause us to see what you have planned for us. Cause us to know that in this world, you have desired that we walk with you. You have desired that we know you, that you have desired that we have fellowship with you and with one another in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you that you speak to us by your Spirit. You did so for the prophets in the Old Testament. You do so now. You did so in the New Testament. You do so today. So we worship you and thank you for it. We thank you that you will speak to us and we'll hear and we'll be blessed and we will be a fruit-bearing tree at the end of this day and at the end of this message. Lord, not because I'm anything, but because you call. And Father, as we're obedient, then you produce fruit. We plant the seed and you produce the fruit. It grows up, we know not how. We don't know how all that works. But we know that you said, plant the seed and it'll grow. Water it, and it'll grow. Let the sun shine on it and it'll grow. So we give you thanks and praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, now, as we look at the final two chapters of Daniel 11 and 12, we've come out of chapter 10, and there in chapter 10, Daniel was being spoken to by the angel and addressed as a man greatly beloved. As you come into the presence of the Lord, you begin to know that you are greatly beloved. As you come into the presence of the Lord, you begin to know that you are greatly beloved. If you avoid the presence of the Lord, you will not know that you are greatly beloved. I said, if you avoid the presence of the Lord, you will not know that you're greatly beloved. You will hope you are. You will read your promise box verse and you will believe in your mind that you are. But believing in your mind isn't good enough. Your mind is not good enough. Amen? My mind isn't good enough to just know the Word, know the Bible, know the verses. I know a lot of verses. I can spout them out to you. But unless I know Him and walk with Him and spend daily time with Him, and I mess up on that. You know, you get busy. You like me? You get busy. Huh? You get busy doing nothing. Everything is busy. There's busyness everywhere. Have you ever heard a retired person say, "I don't know how I ever got all this done when I was working"? Did you ever hear that? Somebody say yes. Thank you. Sometimes you feel like you're just doing everything rhetorically speaking. No. We like a response. Otherwise, we don't think anybody ever heard that before. No, they did. You know, I don't know how I ever got all this stuff done. When I found out, yet in the ministry, you know what? Your time's your own, more or less. You know, people, now going back to saying, no, your time is like, you know, the thing with the politics is, no, your time is not your own. Your time is God's. But the fact is that, you know, God's not pushing very hard. He, you can hide out. You can do a lot of stuff. You know, you can just get lazy. You can just do a lot of nothing. Or on the other hand, you know what else you can do? A lot of nothing. It may look like you're busy. It may look like you've got a lot going on. But it's just busyness. And it can all look good. It can all look like it's accomplishing something. Amen? There's a lot of stuff that we do that's just good stuff. It's good. It's good stuff to do. You know? You can be a member of everything, get your hands in every good work, get busy doing every good thing with all your kids and, you know, all your local community stuff and politics. Well, you can do a lot of good with that, you know. I mean, you can do a lot of quote-unquote good. But you know what? Unless you're walking with God, unless you're spending time with Jesus, none of it's any good. Well, I'm spending time with my children. You know, that's not even any God. I'll run out on a limb here and tell you that all the stuff that you're doing with your kids, well, unless you're spending time with God, it's not going to add up to anything. Amen? Well, yeah, I play baseball with them. I run track with them. I take them to everything that they go to. You know, and we don't go to movies, but we do every other good thing. You know, I mean, family's been, it's important. But you got to, listen, Jesus said this, unless you forsake father, mother, wife, children, even your own life, no one who does not forsake all those things, he cannot be my disciple. Unless you forsake all those things, now I'm not telling you to move out, amen? I'm not telling you to move out. What does this have to do with Daniel? We'll get there. I'm not telling you to move out, but what I am telling you is that there's one thing first. There's one thing needful. There's one thing needful, and that's spending time in the presence of God. Amen? There's one thing needful, to spend time in the presence of God. You know what? You're going to have to work on that one because you've got your time all allotted. I know you because I'm you. You got all your time allotted. All of your time is all spoken for. And if it isn't spoken for, you know, something's lined up waiting for it. Amen. And so here, the reason I'm talking about that is because the Lord's speaking to me about it. And I believe if the Lord's speaking to me about it, and I'm standing up here, I'm going to speak to you about it. Praise the Lord. Amen? You're going to enjoy this. It's good stuff. You know, the message we talked about yesterday, that Jim ministered yesterday, on the various Friday night and Saturday, talking about what it is to come into Thanksgiving. We can do all kinds of little rote lessons, you know, and I can go write it on the board. And all that kind of thing. And you can write it down, and you can put it in your book, and you'll have it in your little book, and the cover on your book will be closed on top of it, and there it'll be. Isn't that nice to have that, all those 8 steps in your little book that you wrote down from Sunday morning? If I wrote it up there, somebody would take a picture of it, and they'd put it on the website, and that'd just be wonderful, wouldn't it, to have it on the website. That'd be just great. You know, then people go up there and go on the website, and they look at it. And then they close their browser, and it's up there in cyberspace. Praise the Lord. It's just so wonderful. We have all these resources, but you know what? God doesn't want you to have resources. He wants you to spend time in His presence. Amen? God wants you to spend time in His presence. He wants you to just come in as you are. He doesn't want you to prepare. He doesn't want you to get the dishes done first. Amen? He doesn't want me to get, you know, Janet teaching all the time, you know. She quit the other day, praise the Lord. So 10 of my jobs just went away. Amen. Glory to God. Now I just got to go get with Jesus, right? I mean, what do you do when 10 jobs go away? Well, just, you know, relax. No. Spend time in the presence of God. Spend time in the presence of Jesus. Lord, I love you. How are you going to do that? I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. I'm not going to ask how many of you do that regularly because you probably embarrass me. Praise the Lord. And I'm the pastor. Amen. Listen, spending time in the presence of God. Spending time in his name. That what is it? It even sounds like a funny thing. Amen. It sounds like a something you'd write, something you'd say in church. Sounds like a churchy thing. Get in the presence of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means just get quiet, sit down, find some place to sit down, whether it's out in the woods, out in your backyard, and just say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Bottom line is just giving him time. Give yourself time because you use up all your time. Amen. How about you? I use up all my time like it's mine. Like we talked about a minute ago, like the time is mine. How many know your time is not your time? Well, that applies to the pastor. It doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to you. How many of you are born again? That means you receive Jesus as your Savior. You receive the how many of you like that kind of fit that description? Yeah, I know like his kid, Elijah. He's born again. You know what? You're born again. Guess who owns you? Not you. Jesus. You're owned by the Father. You've been bought with a price. It's the blood of Jesus. And now he desires you. He desires you. He wants to come and live in you. He wants to come and get rid of your old house and build you a new one. He wants to build you a new house. He wants to remodel totally. He wants to knock down walls, break windows. He wants to do all kinds of things. He wants to get in there and change everything about how you live. And he wants to do it this week. Amen? I said he wants to do it this week. He wants to start right now. He wants to start in the morning. Well, maybe he wants to start before that. Maybe he wants to start at the end of this. Maybe he wants to start right now. You think he might want to start right now? Dave, you think that? He wants to start right now? Amen. That's good. Yeah. Oh, there he is. That's the father of the right behind you, Dave. His little boy just got saved this week. Do you hear him? His little boy just received Jesus. See, right now, Elijah doesn't belong to what's his name? Craig anymore. He doesn't belong to them. And he now belongs to Jesus. You remember Hannah said that if God would give her a baby, a boy, that she'd give him to Jesus. Jesus gave him over to Jesus, and that kid just got whisked off to Samuel's apartment and became a disciple. Amen. And so now, but see, now Elijah has gone from being just a little boy, a little, sinner, to being a born-again sinner. His sins are forgiven. But now he has to be a disciple. See, all of a sudden now, Craig is going to disciple his son. Amen? He's been discipling his daughter, but now he's going to disciple his son. And see, Jesus is discipling. He wants to disciple you. He wants to spend unhurried time with you. He wants to spend unhurried time in your presence. We talk about spending time in the presence of God. You know how much? You know what God wants to spend time in your presence. He'd like you to invite him into your living room. Amen? He'd like you to invite him into your private place, your most private place. Place you reserve just for yourself. Hallelujah. Boy, I don't want that. That's my spot. That's my hideout. When you were a kid, remember when you were a kid, didn't you have a some of you guys, didn't you have a hideout? We had one in the woods behind Eastern Hills High School. We had a hideout. There's a place nobody knew about. That's our hideout, And then beyond that, then you had your own. Not you only had the one where all your buddies were, but then you also had a hideout that was yours. You could hide out. Jesus wants to come to your hideout. Mostly. Now, women, I don't know about women. Guys have a hideout. Isn't that right? Guys, is that right? Don't you have a hideout? We all got a hideout. Guys have a hideout. Women, did the wives know that? Did the wives know that men have a hideout? And it's not, it's where you can't find him. That hideout is where you can't find. There's a place. David just hides out. And he can go there anytime. He could be there right now. And we just wouldn't even know because he's sitting here smiling. Hey, guys, am I right? Couldn't you be in your hideout right now? Praise the Lord. We're not teaching on marriage. Glory to God. I don't know about women. They might, I don't know. I think women always got to have another woman to hide out with. Yeah, I may be wrong, but they don't? Okay, good. Well, praise the Lord. I hadn't asked Janet about that. You mean you got to hide out too? Praise God. Did Greg know that? Uh-huh. Okay, good. It's a good marriage. Yeah, just reach over and say, honey, I got a hideout. You might not have known about it, but I do. See, but Jesus wants into your hideout. Most women or most men, you actually probably don't want to go in the hideout, whether you just want him to come out. Just come out of that hideout, But Jesus, he wants to come into your hideout. Nick, Jesus wants to come in there. He wants to tidy it up. You know how the girls like to throw out your favorite undershirt? The one with all the holes in it and the stains on it? Yeah, unless you're a neat freak. I'm a pretty neat freak, but I still got some of that stuff. The kind of stuff that don't touch it. It's mine, and it's yucky, and nobody wants to touch it, but it's mine. So don't be messing with it. Norman, what are you laughing about? Why do you sit on the back row anyway? Oh. Okay. Well, train somebody else for that. Trying to? All right, yeah. Yeah, deacons ought to be on the front row. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, like Macklemore here, on the front row. He's probably got a hiding place. Probably got a hideout. See, God wants to get into your hideout. He wants to get in there and he wants to clean that thing out. Because your hideout is where you hide out. Your hideout is where you keep all your secret stuff. All the stuff that you're hiding from God, and he sees it. Don't look. What do you mean, don't look? It's all over the room. It's all over you. But you know what? Let him in because he loves you. Let God into your hideout because, say, come on in. God, come into your hideout. Everybody, all the guys say this. Say, God, come into my hideout. Come on in. Do whatever you want. Drink my Dr. Pepper. Or whatever. Coca-Cola. Eat my favorite cookies. You get your stash of your favorite cookies somewhere under the bed or, your can of beer or whatever it is you keep hidden. Just whatever it is. Say, come on in. Jesus, come on in. Because Jesus loves you. He loves you just the way you are. And as long as you keep running, you're not going to know everything that he wants you to know. I said, you're not going to know everything that he wants you to know. He wants to. Jesus, remember he said when in John 16, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to take of mine, and he's going to show it to you. Well, he wants to show you his stuff. Jesus wants to show you his stuff. Amen? He does. Listen to me. He wants to show you his stuff. He wants to show you all of what it is to live in the kingdom of heaven. But he can only do that privately. He's not going to do it on deacon's meeting. He's not going to do it on Sunday. Sorry, he's not even going to do it on Sunday night. You may get a little hint. You may get a little, Gilbert. He may get you a teaching or something. He might give you a teaching. But until it's personal, you're not going to get it. You can even hide out in Palo Pinto. Yeah. Or Aledo. Stuff like that. We drove up to that retreat center, and that retreat center is smack in the middle of town now. It's up there. Briarwood's up in Argyle, and it's all surrounded by Flower Mound and Highland Village. Highland Village used to be like, the kind of uppity little subdivision. Kind of like the colony. Remember, I don't know, y'all know where the colony is? Now it's surrounded. Colony used to be a drive out in the middle of nowhere with a few houses. Now it's got a Walmart. I mean, now it's got, I mean, it's got 121 blowing through there with eight lanes. It's unbelievable. All the stuff. It's hard to hide out, but we do. It's hard to hide out, but we do. See, Jesus wants in there, though. He wants in there. See, in here, Daniel, in chapter 11 and chapter 12, Daniel's talking about, don't let me get away from this now, okay? Daniel, in chapter 11, is finishing. Basically, in 10, 11, and 12, he's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the vision that's been given to him. He's spending time in the presence of God, and the angel came to the man who was beloved. He came to the man who was beloved. And he says, the angel here says, is Gabriel, and he says, verse 21 of chapter 10, the last verse, "I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Now next verse, next chapter, chapter 11. "Also I," this is the angel speaking, "also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and strengthen him." So this angel was there to strengthen Darius, the king of the Medes. "And now I will show you," talking to Daniel, "I'll show you the truth." And he's going to begin to declare to him specifics about the history of Israel as it's going to be coming to pass in the next decades. So he says, "Behold, there stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will." That's Alexander the Great. "And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, that is his children, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom it shall be plucked up and for others beside those." So there were four generals that took over and split up the kingdom of Greece. There were four generals. Antiochus Epiphanes was one of those generals operating out of Syria. And most of the rest of chapter 11, most of the rest of chapter 11 has to do with the history that is follows, yet this accurately depicts, chapter 11 of Daniel accurately depicts the events that took place after the rule of Alexander the Great, and specifically with regard to the rule of Antiochus Epiphanes and his treatment of the Jews and of Israel. That's the bulk of chapter 11. And then toward the end of chapter 11, we begin to talk about, we begin to have hints of that this is not the only time that this kind of tribulation is going to take place. In chapter 7, we read about when the history is going to take us to the Ancient of Days and the end of the world and the end of days. And so in chapter 11, 10, 11, and 12, you know, we're talking about the kind of the near history. Actually, the end of Daniel kind of concludes with more the near history, and the earlier chapters can have to do with the history regarding prophecy coming in, you know, when you and I are living. Let's look now at chapter 12 here for a minute. "And at that time," in fact, the last verse of chapter 11, look at that one, last verse, chapter 11, verse 45, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. And yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Actually, Antiochus Epiphanes just died of some nasty, nasty disease after he finished, you know, desecrating the temple and the lives of the Jews. And after the Maccabean revolt, and after Judas Maccabees came in, and the Jews had revolted against his rule. And he was trying to make more plans, and newer plans, and better plans. And the guy just got eaten up. You remember how, what's his name, got eaten by worms? Herod, yeah. Herod glorified not God. "Boy, isn't it a great day? Aren't I a great king? Oh, it's the voice of a God," they said. And he just kind of nodded his head. Well, immediately he was eaten of worms because he didn't glorify God. The guy just keeled over. The guy just died. God would not allow him to continue. Same thing true here, is that he shall come to his end and none shall help him. You can't help somebody. I mean, you know, God let you get eaten by worms. There's nothing you can do. You know, you can't go to the hospital and get fixed. Those worms are fast. They're bad. Those worms is bad. You don't want that. You better give God the glory. You give God the glory, you probably won't get eaten by worms. That just goes to show. Chapter 12, and at that time shall Michael, here's that angel again, shall stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people, stands for them. He's there like Hebrews, you know, when Hebrews says that the angels are there to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. These guys minister for you. And Michael shall stand for the people, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble. See, after Antiochus Epiphanes, boy, he was trouble all by himself. But he says, now Michael is still going to be over the people. He's going to stand for the people, even the Jewish people, all through these years of being scattered. It says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since the nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people will be delivered. And every one that should be written in the book. I believe that particular portion of Daniel is now referring back to our time, to our day. That is the day. Chapter 11 has already taken place. Chapter 11 was a prophecy for that day. But beginning in chapter 12 is talking about, hey, this is what Jesus was talking about. Jesus talked about both. In Matthew 24, he talked about the day up to the destruction of Jerusalem, but then he also talked immediately about the days immediately before the end. And many of them, verse 2, that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So that's it. Those last three verses are talking about you and me today and about the coming of the Lord. And they that be wise, okay, and verse 4, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased after you shut up that book. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two. One on this side and the other on one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed, am I getting this right? Yeah. Well, and the other on that side of the bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen. Okay, here it shows this guy shows up, a guy clothed in linen who stood upon the waters. Wonder who that might be. Sound like it might be Jesus. I don't know too many other guys who stood on the water. I don't think it's Peter. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven. And he swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard and I understood not. And then I said, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. What did he tell him to do? He said, go your way. Quit asking questions. He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed up till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You want to be wise? Let Jesus into your hideout. You want to be wise? Let Jesus into your hiding place. We'll talk about Daniel here in a minute. And from the time that did, and now he says, but the wise shall understand. And from the time, verse 11 of chapter 12, from the time that the daily sacrifice should be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate should be set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. There's a 45-day difference there. What do we do about that? We'll read verse 13. Go your way till the end be. For you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of days. Better spend time in the presence of God. Let him into your hiding place. Let him into your hiding place. And Jesus, immediately after he talked to me about the events of the days of the tribulation, he went immediately talking about the 10 virgins, didn't he? The very next thing he talked about was not, okay, now let's figure out exactly when, where, how, and why. There's 45 days difference here between these two. What he said was there's 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Here we got the wicked that don't understand and the wise who do understand. We have when Jesus talked about the virgins, he talked about there's 5 foolish and there's 5 wise. The 5 wise were prepared. How were they prepared? They had oil. They had oil. Amen? Matthew 24, they had oil. Give us some of your oil. Can't do it. You can't get oil. You can't get extra oil. Go buy some. They said, go buy your own. Wouldn't it be nice to just give somebody some oil? You know, you have to go get your own. You have to go get your own. And sometimes it might be too late. It might be too late. You need to get your own now. You need to get your own oil today. Amen? Fathers, husbands, you need to go get some oil today. Men, I don't care if you're a father or a husband or not. Men, you need to go get some oil today. Love all the women. But the men need to get some oil today. You know what? I don't care if you're single. I don't care if you're divorced. I don't care what you are. Men need to get some oil. Need to let Jesus into your hiding place. Amen? Again, earlier I said, you know, spend time in the presence of God. Well, some of you don't even know where that is. He's in your hiding place. He's waiting for you. Amen? Does that make sense to anybody? No, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you get to Jesus. You know, he's having a hard time finding you. No, he's not having a hard time finding you. He's right there where you are. You just don't know it. You think he's somewhere else. You think he's in heaven, and you're trying to get him to come down. You're not trying to get him to come down. He's already here. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to hear him. And so you begin with thanksgiving. You begin with thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God for what he's done. You know, because you can do that because you can look around. You know, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. He wants you to come in and give thanks because, you know, you can do that because you can see something. You can see the house you're sitting in. You can see the children that you've got. You can see, I'm trying to avoid seeing the wife that you got. You know, some of you don't want to be thankful. You need to be thankful for the wife you've got. Pregnant pause. I say you need to be thankful for the wife you've got. Actively thankful. Out of your mouth. God, thank you. Thank you for the perfect wife for me. She's a mess. Amen. Well, she's a perfect wife for you. Glory to God. Amen. How many of you guys got pet peeves? It's like a chihuahua. A pet peeve. You ever seen a pet peeve? They're about this big. That means something you don't like. That means something you don't like about what goes on in the house. It may be something your wife does or doesn't do. It may be something your kids do or don't do. It may be something that somebody just does or doesn't do, and it doesn't ever get done, and you don't want to do it, and nobody does it, or they do it all the time. And it's just something. A pet peeve is an irritation, something that irritates the fool out of you. Amen? It just irritates the fire out of it. Fire can be akin to hell, you know, and you could put those together. And so it irritates you that much. Amen. All of those things. Thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you for my pet peeve. Thank you for the thing that I just despise, I hate, that when it happens, or it just never seems to cease. Thank you that you love me. Thank you, Lord God, that just thank him. Just find stuff to thank him about because it's tangible. It's tangible. You know, I can thank you for this jacket. You know, I can thank you for this. I can thank you for that I've got to carry all these keys around in my pocket. It's very uncomfortable. I can thank God for all of these things. It's tangible. I can thank him. And then I begin to praise him. See, once you get past thanking him, you know, that's going to take several weeks. Amen? I said it's going to take several weeks just to thank him. You know, because you're going to have to get used to that one. Then you want to praise him for who he is, and you think that's easy. But it's not, because you're mad at him. Because he let your pet peeve go. Or he's still, you know, you still got stuff that's not going on right. You say, you praise him for who he is. You know, you praise him because he's good. You praise him because he's God. That's not worship yet. That's not adoration yet. Amen? Thanksgiving and praise are so involved in your physical and in your body and soul together. They're very involved. That's what thanksgiving and praise are very involved in your body and soul. They're very involved in the what seems like the natural. Worship and adoration come when you're just when you're through with the flesh, when you're through with this life, and your worship comes in, builds in after that point. Is that, Lord, just, oh yeah, it's when you let God into your hiding place and you're happy to have him. And you're happy to have him there. You know, this stuff, you know, you may not be able to pull off all the 8 parts and feel like you really did it. You may not be able to pull all that off and feel like you really were sincere about it. You know what? You won't be. You won't be sincere. You'll be just mechanical. Anybody know something like that? Anybody ever start a job that today it's like breathing? Anybody ever start a job or a project or a thing that you do? Girls, maybe cooking something. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe when you first got married and started cooking for people or family or whatever, it was just like, golly, how am I ever going to learn how to do this? It's just a chore. But now it's like, yeah, it's just like breathing. It's like, you know, now some of you wouldn't agree to that. It's like, you know, I've always hated it. But there are some things, doesn't matter what it is, that especially something you enjoy doing, that you learned how to do, and before it was a chore, but now it's just something you just, you know. Or taking care of kids, it's just something you got to do. So you had to get past the chore part, you know. You just had to get past it because it's just something that's got to be done all the time. So you're just worshiping God, praising the Lord, and just you're just doing that thing. Amen? And that's where these things come in, is they just become second nature. They just become second nature. Is that you've learned how to worship God, how to pray, thank him, how to praise him. And it's because you're doing it over and over again. Not because you feel like, you know, you're doing it, but you're doing it because that's what you do. And God will meet you in that hiding place. Just let him in there. God will meet you in that thing. God will meet you right there. Adoration, worship takes a little more. It does take a little more because it's kind of getting you out of your body, your thought life, and just like it's like, oh God, thank you that you love me. You just know that he loves you. Remember, I'm talking to guys, right? All the men say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I'm talking to guys. Okay, women, you can get what you want. You can glean what you can. But you want me to get your man, you know? You want me to get your man. Because the guy can't love you as Christ loved the church if he doesn't know him. He can't love you as Christ loved the church if he doesn't know Jesus. If he thinks Jesus is mad at him. If he thinks Jesus is putting a burden on him. if all of your things with your family are just a chore and a burden. He said, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherishes it. Oh, it's very nice. Don't you take care of it? Don't you guys take care of your flesh? You take care of it real nice. Yeah, honey, don't get there in a minute. Just I'm taking care of me. He says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. Love your wife as Christ loved you. Love yourself. I mean, you know, love your wife as Christ loved you. How did he love you? Gave himself for you. Gave himself totally away. Now, you can't do that until you know him. Don't try. Sorry, girls. Quit trying to love your wife as Christ loved the church when you can't. You just can't. You just don't know how. You know, women, you can do that too. I mean, you know, same thing. You know, you can't submit to a man unless you're submitted to God. And no way. Because you always got to protect yourself. Because that guy's an idiot. Amen? I ought to know. I know a lot of them love you. No, I am one. A guy, that is. You know, I am one of those. I know how it is. I mean, you know, my wife is crazy to obey anything I say. You know, she's crazy to believe anything I say. Amen? Ain't your wife crazy to believe anything you say? Don't want to say that with her sitting there, do you? Yeah, see, Gilbert's wife's in Palo Pinto. You can rest of it. See, my wife's over somewhere else. She's not there here this morning. Amen. Nick's wife's sitting right there, see. Right close, within elbowing distance. Amen. Greg, he's got a little space now. He can get away if he had to. She might make a submission. Submit something to him. That's it. See, you can't submit, nor can you love, unless Jesus is in your hideout. Unless you're talking to Jesus. Unless he's spending time with you. Can't do that. Now, over in, see, I thought I was going to teach on prophecy or something today because of Daniel. You did too, didn't you? Fooled you. But there in chapter 10 at the beginning, we're going to back up to there a minute. Chapter 10. In third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, this is chapter 10, a thing was revealed to Daniel, woo-hoo, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, long time till it was coming. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And here's the story. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was fasting 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day and the 1st of the month, as I was by the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes. So he'd been doing this 3 weeks. He'd been fasting and spending time seeking the Lord for 3 weeks. And in the 24th day, the 1st of the month, of the first month, I was beside the great river, which is Hiddekel. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body was also like beryl, that's a stone, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet in color like the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Anybody know who that sounds like? Does that sound familiar to you? Sounds like Jesus. Sounds like John's Jesus in Revelation, doesn't it? Sounds like the vision of Jesus. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, and so that they fled to hide themselves. Say, it sounds a lot like that. It sounds a lot like Paul's vision. Paul had a vision, but nobody said he was crazy because there was something else going on. I mean, there was another manifestation. There was a natural, supernatural manifestation that got everybody else's attention. And while that was going on, Jesus was talking to Paul. Here, Jesus is talking to Daniel, but everybody else knew something was going on. So they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. That is funny. I was left alone. That's a good way for God to get you alone. He runs everybody off. You know, there's a great, great quaking. Now, Daniel didn't run, but everybody else did because he was busy looking at Jesus. So I guess those other guys, all they had was a quake. Daniel, when he was looking at Jesus, I don't think he noticed the quake. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption. That is, my nice complexion was turned ashen. I turned white. And I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. So he fell down on his face and didn't get hurt, I guess. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he's down on his hands and knees, like a four-legged, kind of getting up. And he was lifted up. Somebody lifted him up. A hand touched me and set me up on my knees and palms of my hands. Verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for to you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Now, he saw Jesus and he heard his voice, but it doesn't tell you what Jesus said. This hand that got him up is the same person who's speaking to him. We talked about this before when we talked about chapter 10 last time. And then he said, so this angel who stood him up upon his hands and knees, he said, now, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now Jesus appeared to him, but he also sent an angel to speak to him. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for to you am I now sent. And when he had spoken the word to me, I stood trembling. I stood, but unstable. Then said he to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard. Okay, see that? Now that has to do with coming in, is giving yourself, letting Jesus into your hideout. That's what I'm talking about. Is that you set yourself, to hear from the Lord. Now Daniel, in this case, fasted. You don't have to fast 21 days. Yeah, it might help. But the fact is that you want to say right now, if you were to close your eyes right now, doesn't matter who's sitting next to you. See, Daniel had a bunch of people next to him, didn't he? I said he had a bunch of people next to him. Bunch of people in the room. You know, a lot of times we tell you, well, get alone. Well, God doesn't have to have you alone. He can get alone with you in the midst of a group of people. But right now, I mean, you just sit there and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. You just set yourself in the presence of the Lord. Amen? You just receive him right now. He's always ready. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door. I can't do that. That's Jesus, everybody. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Okay, here it comes. Open the door. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, come in. Come in, have a seat. Say, Jesus, do whatever you want. Jesus, do whatever you want. Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're not mad. Thank you that you don't have a pet peeve. If anybody could have a pet peeve, it'd be Jesus. But you know he doesn't have one. Yeah, he loves you. He loves me. Guys, listen, Jesus loves you. He thinks you're great. You're the son of the Father. You're a son, a beloved. He said, oh, Daniel, oh, Nick, oh, Greg, Paul, oh, Paul, a man greatly beloved. Oh, David, a man greatly beloved. A man greatly beloved. You're a man greatly beloved. You know that? You're a man greatly beloved. Just because you opened the door. You didn't peek out the window and say, uh-oh, it's Jesus. Let's clean up. He doesn't want you to clean up. Come in. He came in. Yeah, if you invite Jesus in, he's not going to stay outside. Unless he needs to sweep up the porch. No, he's not going to stay out there. He's coming in. He's coming right in. He loves to come in. You know, he's not staying away. Well, you know what? Well, you know, I've invited him in, but it just doesn't seem like he comes in. No, just be quiet. He doesn't say much. You know, he doesn't say much to start with. Just say, Jesus, come on in. Just stop. Just stop what you're doing. Stop. Slow down. Stop. Don't be doing everything. Don't be filling up every waking moment. That's what I've discovered I've been doing. Is I've filled up every waking moment. Stop. Slow down. Jesus is going to meet you. He's going to meet all your needs. He says, seek ye first the... You know, it doesn't mean go to work for him. Do stuff for him. Seeking the kingdom of God does not mean going to work and doing stuff for him. Go on a mission trip. It's not what it means. It means open the door. It just means open the door. Open the door. Do we have a song like open the door? Then we'd make it into a song. Then we'd sing a song and think we were done. Now, Jesus doesn't even want a song, does he? Amen? He likes singing. He doesn't need a song. I love saying, man, I'm the biggest singer. You know, man, I'll sing all day and all night. Esther complains. We're driving down the road. I'm always remembering some chorus or something that I knew from back in the 70s. You know. Dad, quit. Drive her crazy. Hey, quit. Shh. Stop that. I love it, man. I just love it. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Here. Watch this now. Share some. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was in the retreat yesterday, and I wrote down six. I just wrote down six old tunes that came to my head while the guy was preaching. I'm telling you, it's terrible. It's awful. Let's see, what do we got here? Let there be glory and honor and praises. I mean, these are all 70s and 80s things, you know. Glory and honor to Jesus. And then what's this? Hey, here's an old Lutheran one. Come thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing, or something like that. Father, we have confidence by the blood of Jesus. I love singing, you know, but he didn't need a song. See, what I'd rather do is sit there and just, I'd rather sit there and sing you all those songs. Okay? But you know what? I'm going to put those songs all back in my little Bible, and I'm not going to sing those songs. Because it doesn't help, you know. It's fine. It's coming out of your heart. I love it. But he's not interested. You don't have to make a song out of it. We don't have to have a song at the end of the service to reinforce the message. Amen? All we got to do is just let Jesus into your hiding place. Thanksgiving, praise, adoration. How else do you get Jesus into your, let Jesus into your hiding place? Well, when I say your hiding place, you know why I'm saying that? It's because you're hiding out. Remember I called it at first? Your hideout. Remember all the guys have a hideout, right? And like I said, I guess the girls do. I just, not being one, I just don't know how that all works out. But I know the guys have a hideout. So Jesus wants to come into your hideout, and he wants to clean it all out. So thanksgiving, praise, adoration. Adoration will come. Yeah, actually, you start out with thanksgiving and praise. You can practice adoration, but I don't know if you'll get there. But you can kind of practice it. Practice what you think it is. Well, isn't that singing a slow song? Amen? Anybody, you've been in charismatic ministry a long time. You know that praise is a fast song and worship is a slow song. Paul? Am I right? The perception of such. You know, that's why they call it praise and worship. And in our case, it's praise and worship and praise. But there's no big deal. You don't need all that. Singing to him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. What's a new song? Song just comes out of your heart. Song nobody knows. Amen? The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And they made a song out of that. How many know they put all the psalms to music, you know, and that there's, you can only sing that psalm that way. I don't believe that. You know, there's not one way to sing a psalm. Because they copyrighted the tune. And so man has got, you know, some guy has got the copyright on God's psalms. Because he put it to a certain tune and a certain rhythm. You don't need all that. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand." You set your heart to understand. See, that's the reason Daniel got any of these visions. You're looking at the book of Daniel. Let's look at the whole book of Daniel. Next month I'll probably do a message on Christmas or something. So we're through with Daniel as of today. But you look through, go back and read all of Daniel. Ha, ha, ha. Sure they will. Go back and read all of Daniel with an eye to look at Daniel's life, not prophecy. Don't worry about the prophecy. Don't worry about all the stuff that Daniel was trying to figure out. He wasn't trying to figure anything else. God just dumped it on him. You know God dumps stuff on you? Do you know that? Daniel set himself. You remember chapter 1? They brought in these guys and they'd already been filled with the Word of God and they refused the king's meat. They refused the king's meat. They didn't want anything to do with the king. They didn't want anything to do with the king's college. I've been listening to a series of stuff on the American mind, American philosophy, of how the United States and the Americans began to how their processes of political thought were thinking, you know, and how they would get to various things. And of course the schools started out as Christian schools. You know, because they were run by Puritans, run by, you know, most of the, like Harvard, Yale, Princeton. But after Harvard, Yale and Princeton both started out like just as a church split. You know that? It's basically like a church split. The guys were mad at the guys at Harvard, so they started Yale. And then the guys at Yale were mad at the guys, you know, or the guys at Princeton were tired of the other guys. So it's just a bunch of church splitting. So, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, God was in charge, right? Otherwise, we'd only had one university. Then, in 1825, interesting thing, they changed the way that they were teaching pastors. This is a novel idea, the guy commented. This is not a Christian to speak of. He was just commenting. It was a novelty to come and have a school where you would train professional clergy. The school at the theological school, first one that opened, is the theological school at Harvard. No, it's not 1825. I think it was. Yeah, it's 1825. In Harvard, opened the first Harvard Divinity School. And of course, Jim went to Yale Divinity School, so I'm sure it was much better. Not. But they decided they were going to train preachers in a new way. Rather than having them learn under the pastors in front of a man of God, they were going to learn in a collegiate setting. people who don't have practical daily experience in ministry. They're going to teach them how to have practical experience in ministry. Yeah, very interesting. All of those things. See, but God wants to train you Himself. I said God wants to train you Himself. You come here, and we're going to point you to Jesus. But you know who's going to? You're not going to get it from us. You're not going to grow up because you're here every time the doors are open. You should be so that you can minister to somebody else. It's not so that you can sit here and soak up every time. But you come and let the Holy Spirit flow out from you because you're spending time in the presence of God. You're spending time with God in your hideout. And He's cleaning you out. And when you show up, people are going, wow. You know, because when He cleans you out from the inside, it shows up on the outside. You're not having to work so hard to hide. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm here to minister to you. Don't look. Didn't comb my hair. Didn't brush my teeth. You know. You're not having to hide out when you show up. How many know we hide out when we show up to church? Huh? Okay, I do. How many else? Okay, raise your hand under your seat. Okay? Just pretend. There you go. Dave. Okay, it's good. Amen. Hallelujah. From the first day you set your heart to understand, this is Daniel 10:12, and chasten yourself before the Lord, before your God, your words were heard. And humble yourself before the Lord your God. Chasten yourself means to humble yourself. Chasten yourself means to humble yourself. Say, God, I'm no good. God, I'm a mess. God, thank you that you love me. In other words, put yourself under. Put yourself under God instead of over God. Put yourself under God instead of over God. Amen? You're not in charge anymore. Amen. Hallelujah! I'm not in charge anymore. At least until I kick him out. And go do my thing. Which you will. But he's not bothered by that. Because once you've let him in, he starts changing you. You start becoming transformed. Amen? So don't ever stop letting him in. You may kick him out, but don't ever let him stop coming in. Does that make sense? No, always let him come in. Always invite him in. And there'll come days, you'll be most every day, you may end up kicking him out. Okay, get out for a while. Do you understand what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you, raise both hands, and that way I'll never know which one is real. You know, just you're like you're praising the Lord, but actually you're raising your hand, but you're hiding because you got two. Hallelujah. From the first day, everybody say first day. First day. Ooh, first day. Glory to God. You mean he had to wait 5 days? He didn't have to wait 10 days? From the first day, you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself and humble yourself before the Lord your God. Your words were heard. Your words were heard. Your words were heard. Your words were heard. You know what? Just keep inviting him in. Keep inviting him in daily. Amen? All the men say yes. Say it louder.
Yes.
Oh, good. Is that you? Silly thing. All right. And I am come. Next phrase. I am come for your words. Now this is the angel. Let's say the angel is coming to declare the word of the Lord to the guy, to Daniel. So he said, and I am come because of your words. I'm come because of your words. I'm come to talk to you, to reveal to you. See, Daniel again got all these visions because he humbled himself before the Lord. Look back at chapter 9 for a second. Look back at chapter 9, verse 3. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books, the number, by books, the number of years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. So he studied Jeremiah, and he was trying to find out about the accomplishing of or the finishing of the 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Yeah, how's this working? How long is this going to take? So he's checking it out in the book of Jeremiah. Verse 3, he says, And I set my face. I lost my place. I set my face to the Lord, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Neither have we hearkened to your servants the prophets, which spoke in your name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of face, as at this day to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are neat, that are far off, and through that are near and far off. Near and far off. Through all the countries to which you have driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against you. O Lord, to us belongs confusion because we haven't listened to you. We haven't listened. We're not seeking your face. We haven't listened. We haven't let you in. You need to get in here. Jesus, are you coming? Come in. He's knocking. You need to come in. Tell him to come in. We're in confusion. You're in confusion because you hadn't heard God, because you're out there pedaling as fast as you can. Well, brother, I have invited Jesus in, and he has just not been talking. Don't invite him in for something. Just invite him in. Say, Jesus, I love you. See, a lot of time we're inviting the guy in because we want something out of him. We're trying to squeeze it, twist his arm. Kind of getting, okay, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you're trying to get this in a week. Yeah, that three-week thing might be a good deal. You might just start out with planning on 3 weeks to start with. Now, he said he heard you from the first day, but he didn't say he answered you the first day. He says, call unto me. First scripture that I ever had as I was being, after I believed I was, I'd heard that I'd been called into the ministry, and I was at 14, and I just heard the Lord. And I started out, actually, when I was like 7, because I knew that, I just knew, working, I was in the church. And at age 7, I was an acolyte, which is the candle lighting kid, the altar boy, in the Lutheran church. And I just knew, this is what I'm going to be. I didn't have any word from God, but I just knew this is it. It's like Samuel. I just loved to be in the presence of the Lord. I just love to be in the presence of the Lord. Age 14, got saved, got born again, and heard the Lord, pastor. I'm going to be a pastor. Yeah, how do you practice that? Then 3 years later, been baptized in the Holy Ghost 2 years, and then 3 years later, 2 years later, got a prayer language, began to speak in other tongues, because I was waiting for the Holy Ghost to speak. But that's a whole nother story. But then, woman in the church had a prophetic ministry, she and her husband, and she came to me with that scripture in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Now, he wasn't real quick about it. I said he wasn't real quick about it. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. That's his promise. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take. I've heard some things, but it wasn't quick. Okay, chapter 9, here back in Daniel chapter 9. So, verse 8 said, O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Hey, it is up to the leaders, but I guarantee you another thing, it's up to the people too. It's up to the people. Starts at the ground floor. Amen? Starts at the ground floor. Now, you need leaders, but you got your kings, you got your princes, but then you have your fathers. Well, what have your fathers been doing? If the fathers haven't been seeking the Lord, what happens to the kids? Huh? Oh, they'll get it somehow. Nonsense. Will not. They're looking at you. Your kids are looking at you. Oh, I'll fool them. You know, I'll fool them. No, you won't fool them. You do not fool your kids. They see everything. I got four of them. I don't know. How many you got? Four? Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you had five. Might have had another one somewhere. You know, your kids will find you out. You know, even if they're grown, they'll find you out. Dave, your kids will still find you out because they come over when you least expect it. They come in when you least expect it. They'll find you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm almost going to quit here. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us, His servants, the prophets, by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Your law, even by departing, that they might not obey Your voice. They just went off on their own. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. He's confirmed His words, which He spoke against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. And it is written in the law of Moses, here it is, all this evil has come upon us, why? Or not why, but all this evil has come upon us, and still we did not make our prayer before the Lord our God. Everything's going to heck in a handbasket. And still, we haven't called upon the Lord. That is, we haven't invited Him into the hideout. God! God, help! God! He's not hearing that. He wants to come in. He didn't want you with a megaphone. Help! Help! He didn't want you with a megaphone. He wants you to invite Him in. Because He's not down the street, you know. He's hit the door. Are you having trouble? Are you having trouble hearing from God? Just do this. Just do this. Start doing this every day. Just invite Him in. Invite Him in. Jesus, thank You that You love me. Start out with the prayer. You know, I can give you the rest of it real quick. You can get that. I'll save you $8 or how much we're going to sell that book for. Thanksgiving, praise, adoration. Then you confess your sin. You confess your righteousness. What's that mean? You confess your sin, that means what you did wrong, and you confess Jesus, confess your righteousness, that is what Jesus did to fix it. I still got a bunch of sins, here they are, but you know what? Thank You that You forgive me, and thank You that You love me, and thank You that that You'll come into my house, into my hiding place. Then you just pray for everything you need. Petition. Then once you pray for everything you need, you just pray for everybody else's stuff. Then when you're ready to go, say, Jesus, thank You that You love me. Over in Psalm 37, it says, trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way into the Lord. Commit your way into the Lord. So when you get up to get out, just commit your way into the Lord. Lord, thank You for coming in. Thank You that You're in my hiding place. Thank You that You're cleaning the place out. Why don't You stay here, in fact, and just keep cleaning while I go to work or whatever I do. Commitment. Thanksgiving, praise, adoration. Confession of sin. Confession of righteousness. Petition, intercession, commitment. And that's just rote. That's just something you do. You could do, you know, just do. Like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, kids learn that, right? This is what you begin to do. You begin to pray like this. You begin to come in and let God into your, let Him into your hiding place. Okay? And so, God is good, and His mercies endure forever. God is good, His mercies endure forever. Let's stand together. Probably got a bunch of other things I'd like to say, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to let you go home. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming into my hiding place, and I invite you in right now. I invite you into my hiding place right now. Come in. Come in and do everything you want to do. Come in and do everything you want to do. I'm not doing it. I'm inviting you in. I'm thanking you. I'm praising you. I'm asking you, Lord God, I want to hear your voice. I'm going to hear your voice. I want you to show me what you're doing. I want you to show me what you're doing in me. You're changing me. You're transforming me. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. From faith to faith, from glory to glory. I'm being transformed. Out of the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of heaven is being constructed in me. I'm being destructed. This is your prayer. I'm praying for you. I'm being destructed, and you're constructing your kingdom in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me testify of these things. Let me testify of these things. Show me how to fast. Show me how to set my face to seek you. Father, I pray for these people. I pray, Lord God, for our church, that they learn to open the door. Learn to open the door. Just open the door and let Jesus come in and just sup with me. And he brings his Father in too. And they just come in and they want to have supper with me in my little cubby, my little hideout. And I thank you, Lord God, you're turning my hideout inside out. But you do it because you love me, and you're gonna protect me. You're gonna cover me. When you expose me, you'll cover me. And I'm not afraid. Say it, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. And I give you the praise. And everybody said, hallelujah.
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 Amen. Amen. Right before you leave and I say the benediction, again, go back and read Daniel. But the thing is, right, really, part of the good part is you read kind of the beginnings of these things before he gets into the prophecy part, or before he gets into the dream. Kind of read the part where God's actually talking to him, or the read about the story of how he got where he was going. Okay? That's like chapter 1 that I just talked about, and, chapter 2, and then when Daniel also is, remember when he's, before he goes in the lion's den, he's praying with the windows open, and they heard him. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. May he come in as he promised when you open the door. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right.